I'm all sombre, let's go.
What'd you say? Come on, get up.
You know, Sage, the least you can do for a man who wants to die is to wish him a cross with his name on it. You just give him your name. You get one.
They call me Trinity.
Trinity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's right hand of the devil.
Come on, move.
How much do I owe you?
Nothing. On the house.
Thanks. The beans weren't much good anyway.
Senor, they're going to...
Hey, Trinity. They say you got the fastest gun around.
Is that what they say?
Yeah.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I'm your host, Jason Bishop. And today, Sam, eating his spaghetti. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty cowboyish.
Yes, I've been itching to do a Western. And this is one of my favorites as a kid.
You know, I really enjoy going back to this because I loved this pairing of Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
Yeah, they're so good. There are only two true Trinity movies, but they paired often before. I think there were like five pairings before Trinity, They Call Me Trinity, came out.
Yeah, I think they did something like 17 or 18 movies together.
Yeah, they were, I mean, after They Call Me Trinity, they were hugely popular in Italian cinema and even globally speaking. So, yeah, that's really popped their careers, and most of it were Westerns.
Most of it, yeah. They were like the Abbott and Costello were the Laurel and Hardy of Western, of spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah, it's funny because, I mean, spaghetti Westerns kicked up in the early 70s. And what happened was Westerns was a huge genre in the U.S. from the 40s into the 50s. But the advent of television moved the genre into television. So the studios cut back on the Western films they were producing to concentrate on television output. So this left a gap in the market. Now, go to Italy, over to Europe, and post-fascism and Mussolini, now that Italy becomes a republic, there's all this global entertainment hitting Italy for the first time, and they're really liking the Westerns. So when they start producing their own cinema, Westerns are one of them. Thus, the Sergio Leone bringing in Clint Eastwood. And, you know, they're trying, at the time, they couldn't afford a whole lot of big actors, but Clint Eastwood in his contract couldn't work on American movies while he was working on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke or Bonanza?
I'm not sure. I think it's Gunsmoke, but I could be wrong. It could be Bonanza. Before my time.
Yes, before mine as well.
So during his break from the show, like, yeah, he couldn't make a movie on American soil, but he could do one in Italy. So worked with this newcomer, Sergio Leone, and next thing you know, we've got a new...
One of the biggest Western stars ever.
Yeah, one of the biggest Western stars ever. And along comes Enzo Barboni and Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer to do kind of a send-off, a spoof, if you will, of the spaghetti Western genre that really became popular by 1970. And it was spilling out into the mainstream because when they were shooting these, if you've noticed, a lot of spaghetti Westerns is not a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
And the Italian talent is overdubbed. in a lot of regards.
Very well, though.
Sometimes very well. But you'll notice, like, you'll see the credits, Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill. They sound like Americans. And even the director, he went by E.B. Clutcher. Sounds kind of American. And his name is actually Enzo Barboni. And they were trying to make it not appealing to the global audience. I mean, that's part of it, but to make it appealing to the Italian market because they were being popularized by American film. So they wanted these to seem more American to their audience.
Yeah, and when you look at Terrence Hill, I mean, he does not look Italian.
No, he doesn't, but he is definitely Italian-born.
Yeah. And you know what? Until we did this, I had no idea that he wasn't.
Yeah, we had the arguments a couple of weeks
discussion
ago.
About it. Yeah,
a brief discussion. I'm like, no, it's Italian.
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know that they were Italian.
Yeah.
Because there was a history of American stars in these spaghetti
westerns. With
Clint Eastwood
and Lee Van Cleef and so on, yeah.
Yeah, even Charles Bronson that we talked about last week.
Yeah. Because Terrence Hill and the dubbing is so good in these movies that you don't really realize that it's dubbed.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some other Italian spaghetti westerns I've seen where the dubbing isn't so great, but the movies are so good regardless. I can think of a lot of them because I think when they started getting an international audience, and even at home because they are trying to attack Italian or beyond an Italian audience, it's not a lot of dialogue in these films a lot of the time.
That's true.
This one has quite a bit, and they do a very good job with the dubbing.
Extremely well, like I said, I was watching for it, because knowing that it was shot in Italian.
It rarely looks out of sync.
Very, very rarely. Even then, you look at the age of the film and go, it could just be a syncing issue, right? Like, it's relatively seamless.
Yeah, I mean, when it happens in Trinity, yeah, you think there's a minor sync issue.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I can't think of a single incident where it really stood out to me.
No, I can't think of one either. And I was actually watching for it as part of this viewing, was to see if there was enough there to bug me, and it wasn't. I couldn't find anything that really bugged me.
No. I think it may be the print I saw, because I watched this on Prime, and it's a bit fuzzy. But I would like to watch this in a cleaned-up version. I'm tempted to pick up the Blu-ray again, because I really do like these Trinity movies, because they're just... They're fun. They're not like, when I say spoof or send off, this isn't like Airplane or even A Million Ways to Die in the West. This still kind of comes off like a regular Western, just with a lot of humor.
A lot of humor, and they do poke fun at some of the stereotypes without being really, really over the top with it.
No, the most weird thing I saw in this film was... The cow that was on top of was it the bar?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, huh. And then Million Ways to Die in the West has the sheep on top of the house as well, which I'm sure was a direct reference.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an homage to these films, because, yeah, it's too distinct a joke.
Yeah. I mean, plot-wise, this shares a lot with most Westerns. It does have a similar plot to Magnificent Seven. And
Drifter coming into town, helping the townspeople.
It's very familiar.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that they made them a group of settlers who are pacifists. I mean, they never outright say they're Mormons.
Yes, they do.
Do they?
Yep. It comes very late in the movie.
It comes later. Okay. I must have missed that bit of dialogue. But I mean, you know they are anyhow.
Yeah.
Right?
Initially, they just say they're settlers that are very peaceful and religious and don't say much more about it. And then it comes really late in the movie where another character calls them Mormons. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Because, yeah, they talk about the pacifism, and there's a fun setup there where they talk about polygamy. And
I got to admit, I mean, I really enjoyed this movie, which is going to make it really difficult to remake for us, because those are the tough ones. I could remake a bad movie, but remaking something I like is a lot harder.
And there's not a lot of flaws in this movie, considering its age and, I mean, the fact that it is not a Hollywood film.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason that it's so well revered, because it still, for the most part, stands up.
Yeah, I mean, in Italian cinema, if you look at the best movies from Italy... This one sits around number 22 or something, just behind The Good, Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Like, that's how popular this was.
And how good it is.
And, in fact, it remains one more popular than the films it's making fun of.
Yep. Yeah, it doesn't. And that goes partially to the director and the writing, mm-hmm. but also, again, to the physical performances of Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer, because their characters are so distinct all the way through, and it's almost mm-hmm. entirely through facial expressions and body movement.
And sometimes the lack thereof, because yeah. it's that stoic, no-sell nature of Bud Spencer yeah. that really makes him endearing.
Yeah.
And being forced to be moral
yes.
from his brother. Yeah. Trinity is known as the right hand of the devil, and Bambino is Terrence Hill. Bambino is Bud Spencer. I'm sorry, Terrence Hill is Trinity. Bambino is known as the left hand of the devil. The devil being...
their mother.
Their mother. Which is a whole story I'd like to see.
Oh, it'd be so much fun.
Right?
Yeah, because they reference her a lot in this movie.
And you do get a sense of who they are and their brotherhood because of their mother. Different fathers because their mother is a madam.
Yes, she runs a brothel. And I suspect that she's a criminal underlord.
Oh, yes, yeah. because the... I'm not sure, was it this film or the other one? But they do mention their father wanted them to follow in his footsteps and become some of the most renowned and feared criminals yeah. in the Wild West.
And they kind of are.
There's certainly a reputation. I mean, when Trinity crosses the desert and he's dressed in tatters.
Yes.
Granted, I mean, he didn't do most of the work crossing the desert. I love how that film opens. And it just, everything kind of clicked back in my brain because yeah. I hadn't seen this since I was a kid. And the boots dragging along the desert floor, and he is on...
a travois type
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, a travois, a litter, and that's being dragged by his horse across the desert. And he's just kind of sunning himself, and he's yeah. sleeping.
Yeah, and there's some great dialogue on there. He says, I'm perfectly happy doing nothing. I'm really busy doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love that line.
Yeah, because it shows his character. It's like, he's cool, relaxed. He's got a different moral compass than his brother.
Yeah, he is so relaxed that I think, like, the gunplay and stuff comes so easy. He's almost bored with it.
Yeah.
that's just how good he is. Yeah. He's a good shot. Like, he won't even break eye contact with somebody and shoot somebody behind him.
Yes. Yeah. Then
he's aware. He's got eyes in the back of his head.
Yeah. Like that first time where you see him draw and shoot, right? Mm-hmm. He draws and shoots behind him with the gun upside down and takes out two guys with one shot. I mean, clearly mm-hmm. supposed to be funny, because it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when he just comes into town and you see him on the litter, that's just... invokes this spirit of fun yeah. into it, and he gets into this bar, manages to order a plate of beans, and they leave this big frying pan in front of him. He actually fasted for 24 hours just so he could finish it all off.
He actually ate it all?
He ate it all. That was a real deal.
That was, oh, good Lord.
You don't have to.
I was nauseous just watching it.
Yeah, even though I was like, oh, that's a lot of beans, and I won't want to be around him for the next 24 hours.
Yeah. No, Sorry, I mean, that scene was kind of gross just because of the way he ate them. And then the fact that he ate it, like, that entire pan of beans.
Yeah, like, legit.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed in his burp, though. I was expecting something a little more emphatic, because it was kind of a wimpy little burp.
No, I was surprised there weren't any fart jokes later.
Yeah, so was I, thinking about it. Because, yeah, there should have been, pardon the pun.
The great thing about that scene is these two bounty hunters had picked up this Mexican and were going to turn him in for their reward. They weren't feeding him or anything. And, you know,
Trinity takes offense to it.
Yeah, Trinity takes it. Well, he not only just takes offense to it, but he's like, oh, there's some quick cash.
Yeah.
So takes him off his hands.
Yeah, and then they turn him into an alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, he had been shot.
Yeah.
And so they're using the alcohol to clean the wound and then feed to him for the pain.
Yeah.
And then he gradually becomes alcoholic through the rest of the film.
Which was a great running joke.
It was. And that's a great thing. They do great setups, and some of them just will pay off way further in the film.
Or periodically or throughout the film, too.
Or periodically, yeah. Just to remind you. Yeah, he's still here.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything. Just gets drunker and drunker and drunker.
Yep.
Yeah, he took offense to it, but it was also a case of, like, all right, this will be easy. You know, initially these guys, they go up to him while he's eating. They check their wanted posters. And I'm like, oh, no, he's nobody. And go back about their business. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to take that guy. you think there's going to be a fight, and then he says, yeah, my name's Trinity, and they completely back off. Yeah. Like, whoa, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah. Well, as soon as they hear the name, they're like, oh, we know who this is. This is dangerous, right?
Yeah.
And then they try to shoot him in the back.
And then they get done for it.
Yeah.
Such a great opening, and it really sets up his character.
It does. Yeah. There's a nonchalance, and he's just so casual about everything.
Yeah.
Right? And a wise ass.
Yeah, no, there's a certain laziness to him. Yeah. And Bambino has it too, but he's very serious. Like, he's taken up this position of the town sheriff.
Accidentally,
yes. They just happened to be traveling in the same direction, and he thought he was being tailed by the authorities. And it just turned out to be the sheriff heading to this town, and they just happened to be going in the same direction. So it was a bit of a shootout. And then he took up he was mistaken as the town sheriff because he was arrived when they thought the sheriff was, so they just assumed he was the sheriff.
Yeah, and he just took it on his cover, right?
Yeah, because he's a horse thief, so he was going to take this dude's horses, the major, who does turn out to be a villain in this film.
Well, yeah, they established he's the villain pretty early on in the film, mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, and yeah, and Bambino has escaped prison. We can't forget that part. That's why he was nervous about this guy following him.
Yeah, right? and that's a running joke too, because he'll turn up again in the dialogue. It takes all forever for us to see him, but he's waiting for his gang to catch up with him, who has to detour to lose their own tail from escaping jail. And then they come across this guy who happens to be going the direction, and the sheriff, and. who survived his encounter with Bambino.
But he's lame now.
And now he's lame. And now he's worse.
Yeah, because they shot him in the other leg.
He did. It just keeps going on and on. I think it's fabulous. And we do see him briefly at the end of the film.
With his two crutches on his... He can't sit a horse anymore. So no. He's in a cart. And
another great gag that just pays off later. This movie pays off your patience.
It does. And I mean, even the end has got another joke, because mm-hmm. Trinity actually legitimately sends him after his brother.
Yeah.
Just to piss off his brother.
Yeah, just to piss him off.
And follows him to California, even though Bambino said, no, you're going the other way.
Oh, Bambino spends the whole film trying to get rid of Trinity.
Because Trinity gets him into trouble.
I love one point where... somebody reports that there was an altercation with your brother, and he brightens up, and then he's disappointed when he finds out he's alive.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, because Trinity always gets him into trouble.
Yeah. And that's a great pace for this film, and I want our audience to feel the joy that we do by listening to this trailer.
I hate to kill a punk, but if you want a cross with your name on it, mister, you just tell me what it is, and you'll get one.
They call me Trinity. Madre de Dios, who is that man, senor?
He's the devil's right hand.
All right, now it's your turn, Sheriff.
Holy smoke, who is he?
He's the left hand of the devil.
One store destroyed. Three heads split open like overripe melons. One man wounded and one castrated, all in 2 hours.
He asked me to give you a hand.
Yeah, but now you get the hell out before I break every single...
Now, you wouldn't want to do that to your own brother, would you?
He's the guy who's the talk of the town with the restless guy. Don't you bother to fool him around. Keeps the vomits on the run. Oh, keeps the vomits on the run.
Put it any way you want, Major. This is the last warning for you and your chicken rustlers.
What did you say?
Chicken rustlers.
Remember, you're not a real sheriff, just a common horse thief, and not a very good one either.
Yeah, there's one Jack too many.
No, here there's one Major too many.
Thank you.
This one is new to me. I never hit him before.
He's the top of the West. Always cool. He's the best. He keeps alive. He's riding to town in the prairie sun. You and brother to pull him around. When you see him, he's gone. When you see him, he's gone.
They Call Me Trinity from 1970, written and directed by Enzo Barboni. Additional dialogue by Gene Lovato. Enzo Barboni as E.B. Clutcher, by the way, as we previously stated. Starring Terrence Hill. Maybe audiences will remember him from the long-running Lucky Lukes, but you know, he's mainly a star of Italian cinema, so he'd be less known to our North American audiences.
Unless you're a Trinity fan or My Name is Nobody, which I will be watching this week.
Yeah, I'm not done with Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer, that's for sure. Aces High was another movie for Bud Spencer, who stars as Trinity's brother Bambino. Stephen Zacharias was Jonathan. Believe it or not, we've talked about him before.
Really? I didn't do any research on this. I wasn't expecting to find any.
I wasn't expecting to find any tie-ins at all, but apparently he was in episode 77, Ice Pirates.
How about that?
Right? I was like, holy shit, I was expecting no ties. Like, we've never talked about any of these people.
But we have.
But we have. So
we've talked about so many movies, though.
We do. So when I find one I don't think is going to happen, and then do my digging. Well, I'm like, well,
2 weeks ago we did Sorcerers. I wasn't expecting any. We found one.
Yeah. Yep. Dan Sturkey was Tobias. He was actually in a horror cult film, Pieces.
Vaguely rings a bell.
Yeah. I liked Pieces. Even I've only ever seen it once. It's not particularly good, but it's kind of gross.
Might be something to add to our list.
Yeah. I've actually mentioned Pieces before because we've talked about a similar movie in one of our 31 Days of Horror, so go back and check out those episodes. Gisela Hahn was Sarah. Elena Pedamonte was Judith. Farley Granger, more notable to our American audiences. He was on Strangers in the Train and Rope, and he's been in lots of kind of 70s horror movies as well. Enzio Morona was Frank Farah? I don't even remember that character, to be honest. But he was in a movie called Beast with a Gun, so that kind of makes me curious.
I'm sure it's another Western, but
I'm sure it is. I bet you most of these
actually
are.
I think that's a Terrence Hill Bud Spencer film as well.
Well, that could be. Luciano Rossi, Ugo Sasso. He was that lame sheriff we were talking about. Yeah. Remo Capitani and Riccardo Pizzuti also star in this movie. I don't have numbers for you, sorry, but we know it did very, very well. It spawned a lot of other films for Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
And a sequel to this.
And a sequel to the direct sequel to this as well the following year. IMDb rates this 7.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have a critic score, but it does have an audience score of 83%. So people do like this movie.
Yes, and we should look at these before we decide to do them.
Yeah, we should. I know the sequel's even more revered. So
it's a little bit stronger because you're familiar with the characters by then, so they don't spend as much time sort of developing that relationship because it already exists.
Yeah, because you just want to get on with it and see these characters get back together again.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've mentioned in previous podcasts that kind of bugs me. You just don't see these regular pairings on film all that often anymore. Happens a little bit more in Europe. We just don't see it that often anymore.
We talked about that specifically with Running Scared because we both really wanted to see Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines who have done, because that chemistry was so amazing.
Yeah, and it only happened the one time. Yeah. Peg and Frost are the only two that really come to mind as kind of a classic pairing, but with Simon Pegg finding a lot of success in North American releases, we don't see them do a lot of films together
anymore. No, the last one that really sounded like before that was Chris Farley and David Spade.
Mm-hmm.
They were also another great pairing that's unfortunately...
Yeah, with the passing of Chris Farley.
Exactly. But that was another one of those ones where they clearly loved working together and fed off each other so well.
Mm-hmm. I kind of miss that because, I mean, if you like working together, that chemistry does come off in the films itself. And I kind of miss seeing that, even if they're not of the same series, you just kind of like seeing these guys get together.
Oh, there's one more. I hate this particular pairing, but it's Will Ferrell, and we just talked about him last week, too, or 2 weeks ago. John, what's his name? I think I may have cast him, not...
Was that the Sorceress episode?
Yeah. He was in Chicago, and...
Oh, you used him in your recasting?
Yeah,
I honestly don't remember who that was.
Yeah, maybe you'll all remember him. I always want to call him John C. McGinley, but it's not John C. McGinley. It's
John C. Riley?
That's him, yes.
Riley.
Yeah, okay. John C. Riley, yeah.
Yes, we did talk about him. Yeah. That was actually in our We're No Angels episode.
That's right. Sorry, 3 weeks ago. They have great chemistry. They obviously love working together.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have issues with Will Ferrell that I just can't get past.
Yeah, well, he's one of those like him or hate him guys. I'm kind of on your side of the fence on that one. Lots of people like him. That's why they keep making movies with him.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not belittling his talent at all. I think he's very funny. I just get tired of seeing him play the same character.
Yeah.
Or variations of the same character.
Yeah, and maybe that's where you get those successful duos, because a lot of these guys come from a comedy background.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's where these pairings happen, is from comedy experience.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you look back at the classic duos, it was people like Laurel and Hardy and Abbott and Costello that were sort of the classic duos.
Yeah, and then it carries over into Saturday Night Live. Yeah. And
that's what makes these ones kind of unique, because they are comedy westerns. And more, I mean, the comedy is certainly there. There's no question. But it is more of a western.
Right? Oh, for sure. It still has that western violence. I mean, not bloody violence.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, this was definitely a western suitable for kids, although there's definitely people dying all the time. I mean, there's that one dude who gets shot in the nuts.
Yes, and there's lots of suggestive stuff, especially there's that scene where Trinity's swimming with the two Mormon women, and then that's where he finds out that he could marry them both.
Yeah. He definitely perks up.
Yes, yeah.
And it changes his mind. Bambino, once again, is trying to get rid of him because he's causing so much problems.
Bambino runs him out of town.
Runs him out of town. And he's going to leave, but he stops by the Mormons
to say goodbye.
And then he stays for a day.
And goes swimming with the Mormon girls.
Yep.
And gets talked into joining the...
The collective.
Joining the church, yeah.
Yeah.
Not realizing what he's getting himself into, which plays really well at the end.
Yeah, after they've kind of solved their problems for them, there's this scene right at the end, and there's like a group prayer, and they're part of the prayer is saying how much hard work has paid off and how much work is going into starting this new...
That you'll be working till you're fatigued,
yeah.
and how you're going to appreciate the fatigue. And
he couldn't, by that point, it was like, yeah, that's not going to work for me.
Yeah, because he's already established that he prefers the easy route. He does as little work as possible,
mm-hmm.
preferably none.
Yeah.
The thing you get about Trinity is he's not driven by money. He doesn't care about money.
I think he's just driven by fun.
He just does things as whatever happens across his way is whatever he does.
And I think that's where I like the dynamic, even though Trinity's got this reputation, we also learn that he's constantly causing problems for Bambino. So Bambino's like the hardened criminal.
Yes.
And Trinity has this moral compass that he forces Bambino to feel things from time to time, yeah. which really annoys Bambino.
Yeah, or at the very least, he forces Bambino to do things he'd rather not be doing.
Yeah, into the right thing. And yeah. Bambino kind of stumbles into it by being in a position where he's forced to deal with
yes.
it. Now, in this movie, the Major Harriman, Farley Granger, he is this, I guess, this horse entrepreneur. He's kind of the money in this town.
Yeah, he's a rancher, right?
He's a rancher. Mm-hmm. And even though he doesn't own the valley, he wants to use the valley to raise his horses. This is also the target of Bambino, who wants to rustle some of these horses.
Yes. And that's runs into a great joke all in of itself. Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to drive these Mormon ranchers out of the valley. Meanwhile, these Mexican raiders keep popping by and just helping themselves to stuff and generally treating everybody like crap.
Yes. They're clearly a parody of sort of they're an exaggeration of the stereotype.
Yeah. And I think that
they're drunk and they're boisterous and they're,
I kept thinking of the ones in Magnificent Seven that would just come in, take what they want and leave and get really rambunctious and angry with them if they don't have what they want.
Yes. And that's, again, they're like exactly the kind of parody that these guys are, right? Because they when they show up at that dinner.
Oh, that's great when Trinity and Bambino happen to be there.
Yes.
And stayed for dinner. And they come in and they're just hanging back, watching what's going on. Initially, they're boisterous and loud, but friendly. Part of their religion is no weapons at the table, that sort of thing. Yeah. When these raiders ask for wine, they freak out when they don't get it.
Knowing full well that there isn't wine.
Yeah. They don't drink. Okay. So that leads to some bullying of these ranchers that lines them all up and starts slapping them until they get to these newcomers that they don't recognize. And the leader, Mezcal, slaps Bambino, who's this big, burly dude. He's this bear of a man. Slaps him. It's like slapping a rock. He doesn't move. It kind of hurts his hand. Slaps him again, and Bambino just one punches him.
Yes. Yeah. This is actually one thing that I would change, because I was actually expecting it. Maybe that's why they didn't do it. But I was actually kind of expecting it to. He takes that whomping from Bambino. He's like, right? Shakes it off, and then he goes to give Trinity a whack, and Trinity slaps him first.
That would have been good. Yeah.
Right. Because Trinity's so fast. Right.
Yeah. That would have been good. I would have loved that.
Yeah, and I would add that bit in.
Yeah.
There's not much I would change in this movie, but that would have found that funnier.
Mm. I guess one of my first questions would be, would you keep this as a Western, in a Western setting? I mean, we've seen Westerns turned into samurai movies, and then the samurai movies turned back into Westerns,
yes.
And Westerns turned into science fiction film.
And that's actually the direction I was actually thinking as I was watching them. Like, I'm not sure if I'd want to do this as a straight-up Western, just because the limited success of Westerns over the last 30 years. Right? There have been very, very few successful
Westerns.
One of
the greatest Westerns is Star Wars.
Yes, right? And Firefly and Outland, which we've done. Mm-hmm. Right?
And neo-Westerns, like No Country for Old Men.
Yes.
You know, that would be the other type of Western where they've taken that aspect of Westerns and then put it in a modern setting.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I wouldn't, I like the sort of the frontier setting. I think the idea of moving it to a new world where, a la Firefly, where you have these rudimentary settlements and people are trying to sort of scratch a living out of the earth, out of the world. I don't want to say the earth because it's not earth anymore, but yeah, have the kind of setting and kind of get that, bring it back to that wild feeling, but add something new to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can think this also has a very similar story to Walking Tall.
In some ways, yes.
In some ways,
yeah.
Which we've covered.
Yes. There's so many. I mean, it is a very straightforward, simple story.
Mm-hmm. And it's been done many, many times.
Yeah, so how do you bring something new to that story? They did a great job by bringing some comedy into it. Mm-hmm. How would we do it? We'll talk more about it, I'm sure. But yeah, I was leaning more towards that science fiction frontier world kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think about what's going to be appealing, because let's face it, the Western genre is still in a decline. I never like to say dead, but it is on resuscitation at the moment.
There's very few notable Westerns that have come out over the last 20 years.
I mean, yeah.
Like Unforgiven, Jesse James...
True Grit remake was probably one of the more successful and revered ones. We've done Magnificent Seven remake, which was meh.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there's lots of low budget Westerns out there.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, yeah, Westerns, you don't see the big budget, hugely promoted Westerns.
And they
anymore.
Still, when they do a Western, it seems to find a little more success on television.
It does, yeah. Yeah, even with big name casts like Magnificent Seven or 310 to Yuma. They draw just enough audience to sort of do well enough to have warranted making the film, but not well enough to revive the genre.
Yeah, and we've seen with a more lighthearted approach that has kind of an action comedy feel be successful in this genre with Young Guns.
Yes.
So would that resonate again? Because it's been a long time since Young Guns.
I mean, yeah.
It's probably like 30 years.
About 30 years, yeah. close to it, for sure. I mean, because, yeah, I think Young Guns was 89. So, yeah, 30 years exactly, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Roughly. You know, we're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Part of me, just because I like the film so much, wants to keep it a Western. But changing the setting to a science fiction or a modern small town setting like Walking Tall doesn't really affect the tone that much. So I'm perfectly on board with the sci-fi setting, and my cast lends itself well to it, to be honest.
There we go. There we go. I think you'd have a lot of fun if you were to add that element to it. I mean, you could have, instead of having real horses, you could have like robotic horses or something like that, right? Which would make real horses that much more valuable because they're so scarce.
Well, I mean, it's, when it comes down to it, the settlers are in a space where somebody wants something that's in that space and needs to force them out, whether it's to have a raise place horses. To raise horses, or there's a resource there that they can't get at while the settlers are there. It's whatever that MacGuffin needs to be.
Yes, yeah. Just like in Pale Rider. So we're going to be referencing a lot of old Westerns, I think, in this episode. But Pale Rider, where that the big miner wants access to the valley and is where all the gold panners have set up a community, right? Mm-hmm. It's that's very similar setup to that, right? It's also a possibility for sure. The MacGuffin doesn't matter as much as...
Yeah, if it's a sci-fi setting, energy source.
Yeah, or a mineral that's a newly found mineral that's worth a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Could be any number of those things, right? I mean, and you can still keep that, them being the pacifist religious group. They're oppressed on Earth, and they're like, well, we can practice our faith in peace.
Yeah, they're trying to escape the violence of their culture.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that ties back to Pilgrims Coming to America. Mm-hmm. Right, very similar themes there. Like, so you could certainly expand on that a little bit without adding too much chaff to the film.
I mean, you think of Star Wars, at least to the opening of the film with the desert planet, and it's the Sand People are the indigenous people.
Yes,
like they're the natives, and you can juxtapose this. I mean, honestly, I don't think without Trinity, Han Solo wouldn't exist.
Oh, I'm for sure of it.
I mean, Han Solo is Trinity.
To a large extent, yeah, the roguish good guy, yeah.
And that was 7 years later.
I mean, and Lucas, we know, especially at that time, was very much an avid film student in the sense that he was, maybe not even, I mean, he did go to school, but more, I think he was just a loved film and certainly would have been exposed to all of this fun stuff.
Now it's kind of taken shape if we're working in a sci-fi setting, because it's part of it's been done already.
Yes, yeah. I mean,
character-wise,
we're not reinventing the wheel here. And certainly, you want to.
No, I mean, Trinity and Bambino is Han Solo and Chewbacca.
It really is, right? I mean, it really is. Oh, geez. Has it already been remade?
Shit. I mean, they're very different movies, obviously.
Yes.
But character-wise, that's who that pairing is.
Yeah, it's certainly, there's no question that you can see the inspiration there,
right?
Whether anybody else has recognized it before or not.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting here just thinking this now aloud, and I'm like, holy shit, that's who they are.
That really is, yeah. The Chewie being the large, strong, taciturn, quiet guy with doesn't have a lot to say, and then your wisecracking rogue hero who's pretty quick on the draw. I think you have something there, Jay.
Yeah, maybe. Although Han Solo finds himself on the other end of things at times, not to his benefit for sure. Whereas Trinity, everything comes so easy to him.
Yes.
He's such a good shot. And sometimes this is what we don't see, like when those two guys go in to get their man from the jail.
Yeah, the hired
and it's
guns.
All,
yeah.
The hired guns, they come out without their pants. You hear all this ruckus and gunshots, and they come running out. The fact that they're not dead is pretty good.
Yeah, they're lucky.
They are lucky. Yeah. But, I mean, they're trying to embarrass the major at every turn.
Well, and it's funnier because these guys are like tough guys. Like these are guys who make a living killing other people, right?
They're being hired to not only shut down Trinity and Bambino, but force these people out of the valley. But they have to, because Trinity and Bambino are on their sides, they have to take care of them first because they're a thorn in the major's side.
Yeah.
they're turned around so quickly. You think they're going to play, and they really don't.
No, and that's the fun part about it is they bring these guys in to be the bad guys.
Yeah. Right?
Like the antithesis to our heroes or our anti-heroes, whatever you want to call them. And they pop up and they disappear within about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Trinity always has their number. In a lot of regards, Trinity's Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, yeah, I've got you at every turn. It's fine. And,
yeah.
And he's always got a wry little smile because of it.
Yeah. It's like, I know what you're doing and I'm going to turn it around on you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's that great bit in the bar where he says something mean about their mother. Right. And there's this great bit when Bambino finally comes in and he whispers what the guy said to Bambino, and then Bambino gets mad. They beat them all up and he says, you can't say stuff like that about the mother, but it's true. Or, but she is. Yeah.
Yeah. But we can say that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And that's a totally sibling thing. And I love the fact they have these private sibling things so that even though they're at odds, they still work together and there's still things that connect them.
Yeah.
Right? Like their love of their mother, who they know is not a good person, but they still love her, which I think is a great undertone of that movie. But yeah, there's so much fun in this. And yeah, you talked about the smile and the grin that he always has. And this guy has got the most incredible blue eyes. Right? Even when he's not smiling, those eyes are smiling.
Oh, I think you got a little man love there.
You know what? It turns out
he's a handsome man.
He is a handsome man. And I mean, he's sort of the iconic leading man look, right?
Yeah.
He has it all. You could put him and Eastwood side by side at that age, and you go, okay, I can see why Terrence Hill's famous, because look at these two, right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's obviously one of the reasons they made him the lead is because he looks good on screen.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I think there's an unofficial Trinity movie where they found, like, two uncanny lookalikes to do those parts, but I'll have to look into that. I seem to remember.
Oh, there's a third one that doesn't have Terrence Hill or Bud Spencer in it. I think it's called Son of Trinity.
Might be. I'd have to look into it. But the Italians were known for not respecting intellectual properties and milking the shit out of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, when they had the Hercules success, and then there was just a shit ton of them. Hercules Meets Zorro, and then Django did really well, and next thing you know, there's 30 new unofficial Django movies, because, you know, fuck copyright.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point. It is an unofficial trilogy, because there is a third one, but I don't recall the exact name, but...
Well, then there's lots of... been renamings of other movies to try to make it feel like they're Trinity movies.
Yeah, well, we mentioned My Name is Nobody, which one question is a Trinity movie without the Trinity name?
Yeah, I mean, they did fairly well in Germany, and I guess even some of the non-Westerns were named Trinities, something or other, in Germany, just to
make draw the audience. Yeah.
Yeah, have that recognition of the duo, right?
Yeah, no, and you know what, to be honest, that's a good marketing technique.
Sure.
Right? If it draws people in, yeah.
It draws people in.
Make your money.
All right, well, okay, I think we're getting close to remaking this. Because, I mean, we've talked about the plot here. It's pretty basic. It's similar to other movies. Now it's a case of trying to put this in our new sci-fi setting.
Yes, and that's the going to be the fun part. I wanted to touch base on Jonathan,
the assistant.
He's
the sheriff's kind of everyman, the guy that files the paperwork and that sort of thing. Cleans up Trinity when he first comes to town, who eventually gets deputized by Bambino.
Yeah, and I really liked his character because he doesn't quite look at the camera, but he's like the wry aside all the way through the movie.
Yeah.
Right? Because he has some great one-liners all the way through the movie.
It feels like he's in on the joke.
Yeah, almost very Deadpool-esque, where he's the only one aware of what's really going on.
Yeah.
Right? And he kind of winks at the audience every once in a while. I really like that dynamic, right?
Yeah, like I said, he's kind of in on the joke without really addressing the audience directly, but it's a case of, I know what's going on, even though nobody's said so.
Yeah, exactly,
When he finally has to confront Trinity and Bambino and misdirects... Was it the sheriff?
Yeah.
Yeah, the original sheriff that was supposed to come to this town. He misdirects the original sheriff, sends him in the wrong direction because he knows Bambino's rustling these horses and wants a cut for his silence.
Yeah, and he's got his own motivations, but...
Sure.
But yeah, he's definitely the voice of the town.
Yeah, there's a really clever plot where the major teams up with Mezcal. Mezcal's been stealing horses from the major.
Or trying to steal horses from the major.
Has been trying. And the major offers him, I don't know, was it 30 horses?
20 horses, yeah.
20 horses to take care of these settlers that they've already been kind of roughing up to begin with. And I love that Mescal's like, I have my pride. I won't take your horse. I won't be paid like a common, like it's a common job. And he's like, fine, I'll let you steal 20 horses.
Yeah.
We just won't shoot at you.
Yeah. And then that plays later again with that great counting scene where Trinity's.
It's great because they spot this spy in the village of these Mormons. And so they go and grab him, scared the shit out of him. They're like, wait a minute. Oh, you're going to get paid to do this. Well, this is a good opportunity because now the plan's really changed.
We're going to get the horses we're going to steal anyhow.
Yeah, Bambino's men have arrived now. They go in posing as the Mexicans with this one guy of Mezcal's and just take the horses freely.
Yes, right. But more horses than they were supposed to.
More than they were supposed to.
Yeah, because there's that great scene where Trinity's counting them.
And Trinity fucks it up anyway, because he gives them to the Mormons, and the Mormons brand them.
Yeah.
So that makes them useless, because that was part of the appeal, is all they're these unbranded stallions, stallions. So they're untraceable. The brand was like the Ten Commandment tablets.
Yes. So hokey.
It was.
But the scene where they spot the spy was funny, too, because it's like, do you think we have a spy over there? And he's like, come over here. Do you think we have a spy over here? Under that sombrero. Mm. Spy under that sombrero. And it's funny, when you're when you're talking about it, it shouldn't be funny. But when you see this on screen, it is funny.
It is funny.
Yeah. Because it's just so...
I used to howl as a kid. I didn't laugh as much this go around, but I had a smile on my face the whole time.
Oh, so did I. And Val laughed out loud. Lots. She actually laughed quite a bit at this movie.
That's great. I'm looking forward to hearing her V-trigger later. Yes,
as am I. Like I said, there's not a lot I would change about the movie. There's some things I would maybe tighten up. There's a lot of scenes that are maybe a smidge longer than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they wanted to hit sort of that hour and three quarters mark. Because it is about just around an hour and three quarters, just about 2 hours.
It's getting close to 2 hours. Yeah. I think it was 109 minutes, 110 minutes.
Yeah, so I mean, you could tighten it up some of those scenes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so because some of it does feel a little drawn out, but for the most part, its pacing is so solid, and the jokes are perfectly timed. You'd have to maybe update the dialogue a little bit for a science fiction setting.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who has that sense of mixing humor with an action setting and still maintaining that Western aesthetic.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that when I did my director.
Yeah, I was as well.
And I specifically went science fiction. I went this director because they haven't done science fiction yet.
All right. Well, let's get to recasting. But first, I want to talk to you about the NHL playoffs. You into that, Sam?
Not particularly.
Oh. How about concerts and stage plays? Yeah?
Yeah, I like those.
Problem is, they're really expensive, eh?
Yeah, especially when you're buying tickets for two.
Oh, it's crazy. But you want 70% off your tickets? How's that sound?
You know what? I might go more often.
Up to 70% off at SeatGiant.com for our U.S. listeners and SeatGiant.ca for our Canadian listeners. So in American or Canadian dollars. And have we got a deal for you? They're already the cheapest game in town for playoff tickets for the NHL or NBA or Major League Baseball or even football. And of course, your favorite concerts that are hitting your area. And stage plays, but we can get you an even better deal than the best deal in town already. If you use the code INVASION at checkout, you'll get an additional discount, and you'll help out the show as well by doing so.
You can't pass up on a deal like that.
A deal is a great deal. They are the cheapest game in town. I've actually gone to Ticketmaster to compare some local prices on NHL tickets, and oh my God, I couldn't believe how cheap they were. Even I'm thinking about going to a playoff game while the Flames are in it, if there still are by the time you're listening to this. We're recording this early. But we're doing okay. The last time I checked.
There we go. We have faith.
We do, and I'm hoping we get there on the 30th anniversary of our last Stanley Cup win.
Yeah, that was the year I moved to the city.
So get your game on, go to seatgiant.ca or seatgiant.com and enter the code INVASION. They're a game changer. Here's Val's thoughts on They Call Me Trinity. Here is the V-trigger.
So, Sam was like, this week's movie is a Western, and I was like, gross. So I hunkered in to suffer through They Call Me Trinity, which should be called They Call Me Yummy. Hi, cutie. Trinity's entire script could have been the yellow pages for all I care because this dude is hot. The devil's right hand? Sign me up for hell, bitches. Remember the part when he put on a suit? Me too. Forever. No sweat, guys. There's stuff in there for you too. Guns, horses, fights, comedy, whatever. Irate Trinity, totally delectable.
Okay, that was awesome.
Almost as awesome as the movie.
I always like outspoken Val. Okay, let's throw out some ideas here. We're going to do that sci-fi setting. Let's say Trinity and Bambino. Bambino's already on this new planet that people are settling on. Trinity's just arriving in his whatever spacecraft.
Yeah.
It's a shame to lose the horse who's so good at...
Yeah, the wicked smart horse. Yeah, yeah. Knows exactly where it's going without reins.
But you could do the ship at the same time. You could kind of do some Siri or smart chip jokes or whatever.
Yeah, you could just update AI. It. Yeah,
yeah.
Give it something new. Yeah, and you could have him everything on his ship automated.
Yeah, right? The ship's just he's talking back to the ship, and ship's talking back to him. It's got personality.
Yeah, it got some sass.
Got some sass like it was designed by Tony Stark.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah, then you can cast a voice for that.
Yeah, we can still use the same kind of plot. Bambino's already on this planet and made himself an authority figure for the same reasons.
Yeah.
He was heading there. He got in a little scuffle with another ship that looked like the authority ships.
Because it is an authority ship, and it was just didn't happen to be looking for him.
Yeah, right? It was literally on the way to the planet to bring some law to this new settlement with whatever cosmic empire, if you will, that exists in this new sci-fi universe we're working with.
Yeah, and Bambino, I mean, he's on the run from his past. He's managed a jailbreak from... And is now looking for a place where they're not likely to look for him.
Yeah, and much like before, they mistake him for this new cop, this new... We could still call him a sheriff.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? For this new planet. And we already said the MacGuffin could be some priceless resource.
It could just be livestock still. Right, it's a new planet. Livestock could still be worth a fortune.
But just all the terraforming equipment itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be any number of those things, but yeah, I'd like to expand on the sheriff's disinterest in really being a sheriff a little bit, right? I mean, because when Trinity first arrives, it's right at the start of a gun battle where they're trying to take out the sheriff, right? And I'd almost want to go into that trope of the sort of the really chaotic town where there's always somebody beating on somebody and like where he just doesn't really care what's going on there. Right. I mean, you could even have him coming out of the bar instead of out of the sheriff's office.
Yeah. Right. You know, I'd like to keep the whole right hand, left hand of the devil and their mom's like super evil.
Yes.
But they aren't. They struggle at being evil.
Yes.
And they're not very good at it.
Yeah. I genuinely like that idea. And you definitely want to keep that in play. Right. I mean, you could even have a similar setup from the beginning where Trinity arrives. Right. And he goes to... the saloon at the landing port or whatever, right? Because he still has to get, because there's going to be more than one settlement there, right? Mm-hmm. Away from the landing port. So and he has a similar setup there where he wants real food and runs into the two guys who are
bounty hunters
or whatever, and they you could play out that scene, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you're Trinity, you're known throughout the universe, kind of thing.
Yeah, right? Well, we're not going to mess with your mom.
Yeah. Yeah, we heard you're the fastest driver ever, right? And I mean, you can still have him being...
Yeah, nobody's as fast as your laser gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that...
Maybe not call it a laser gun.
No. Fast as your pistol, it can still be a pistol, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody's faster than the draw on you are, or whatever the case may be. But yeah, you can still have that scene. And it's essentially the same thing, is he's landed it after a long ride in space.
Yeah, I think the whole plot works fine in a science fiction
movie. Yeah, you don't need to change much of it. Like I said, I would... really amp up the chaos in the town.
Yeah, I mean, be more creative with the setting itself, vast variety of races and creatures, intelligent and not intelligent. Just a freshen it up into a sci-fi setting.
Yeah, you could have something that's indigenous to that planet that's now used as livestock, right? Mm-hmm. A six-legged cow or something like that. Something that's almost recognizable, but not quite, sort of as the... Because they had cows all over the valley.
Right? Yeah, they did.
It would sort of be fun to have something that's not quite a cow.
Yeah, and those Mormons got all those cows like they were free-roaming cows that they've kind of been blessed to find.
Yes, yeah. So that would just add some fun visuals without taking away from the telling of the story. Yeah, I don't know how you'd play up that one bit where the major offers Mezcal the job, right? Unless that whatever the major has is currently portable.
Well, we got to, like I said with the Star Wars thing, the indigenous people were the sand people. And we could do something similar so we can have a fun new race there.
Yes.
I want to establish what the major is a major of.
Oh, you know what? I think that he's a warrior whose ego is...
I wasn't even sure in the original film what side was he on, say, in the Civil War.
Well, and that's the thing is he was...
He's very Southern.
It was very Southern, right? The way he dressed and his appearance and his manners. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, he can be a veteran of some sort of conflict. Mm. I mean, you call it whatever you want. And he was distinguished in it, but he was also quick to get out.
Well, right? What if he has been stationed there as a military outpost? And he's kind of used this planet to situate himself as an important person. We can actually do some changes here with the Major to make him a little more villainous. And he's been controlling this planet before proper law comes to
which is why
planet.
He resents Bambino being there, because yes. Not because there's now a local force. Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. And you know what? We could have him sort of establish that he's risen as far as he has just through charisma and bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's actually really incompetent.
No, he comes from privilege and has been handed a superior position. Yeah.
Because and the thing I liked about this particular villain in the original movie was that he was charismatic. Everything he does is through force of will and through talking people into things. Mm-hmm. Right, and I'd like to see that sort of continue. That's his MO. Is like, I'm not getting my hands dirty. I'll talk somebody else into doing it for me.
Oh yeah, his men were viciously loyal, and even his allies were. Easily talked into doing what he wants.
Well, yeah,
he's in conflict with.
Yeah, and the one of the things I loved about that scene was the fact that Mezcal actually was really pleased to have him there. He was like, "Hey, my enemy, there's a friendliness there between the two of them. It's like this is the game we play, mm-hmm. right? But we don't really dislike each other.
It's something that they kind of live with.
Yeah,
and their mutual hatred is centered on these new settlers that. Are threatening their way of life in this control of this planet that is already theirs. In our movie, I would maybe think Mezcal and his men, they were there before these Earth settlers and do think the planet is theirs, as well as their claim is probably just. They're harassing these settlers and trying to drive them off this planet.
I think that would be a good device. I just add something a little bit new and different to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas the Major wants something on this planet that is in direct line.
Yeah, I think that could work fairly well. But yeah.
And it's a tenuous relationship that they form at that point in time when Trinity and Bambino, these two people, wind up being and. Actually, the Bambino's men wind up being fairly likable for the short time they're on screen.
Yeah.
They both seem to be kickboxers.
Yeah, which added to some of the fun of the final battle.
Yeah, I'd like to bring them in a little earlier, or at least have a scene established prior to their arrival, so we can just see a little bit more of them. I'm not sure where to do that per se, but we can open up the film.
Oh, you can add more to that joke. To the guys following me joke is Trinity gets into town and says, oh, and you know how he gets that look on his face when he's done something wrong? He's like, there was a ship following me.
I may have shot out one of their engines.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so they might be late.
If they didn't get sucked out of the hole.
Yeah, so you can just add one more beat to that joke.
Yeah. They arrive. Yeah, you know, sorry about that. And that gives you a chance to see them beforehand.
Beforehand, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Simple, funny, and it just adds to one of the running jokes. Yeah, and then you can see.
So we can still establish that this is a fairly harsh part of space. So whatever they need is rare and hard to get to begin with, because getting to the planet is difficult as it is, because it's like crossing the desert.
Yeah.
It's treacherous. And if you can get to the other side, there's something there for you.
Yeah, you'll have to work for it, but it'll be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. All right. I think we got some shape here.
Yeah, and then we'll add the. There's that one bit that I've already mentioned there with Mezcal slapping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the idea of Trinity like slapping him before he gets a chance to slap.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there's some good bits there for sure.
Yeah. The only other thing that I mean, they established Trinity as the fastest draw, right? But the funny thing is he almost never uses his gun.
Oh, when he does, it's so lightning fast.
Yeah.
So it makes those action scenes really short. You never feel like he's in jeopardy, and I do feel like maybe he needs at least a nemesis at some point in this film where it isn't as easy.
Well, and I think that was the joke, especially when the two hired guns came in,
mm-hmm.
that they were supposed to be that guy, but he makes such quick work of them, right? Because everything is so easy for him. Mm-hmm. That's part of the joke, is how easy everything is for him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in the last battle scene, is they're like, okay, well, let's put our guns away and let's settle this like men.
Yeah. Right? If anything, he's the one that causes most of the turmoil.
Oh, for sure. Because he likes stirring up shit.
Bambino is just kind of letting things happen. It's like, well, I'm just going to steal that guy's horses and leave. I don't really need to help those guys.
Yeah.
That's all I'm here for.
Yeah, I'm just
quit stirring up trouble and making me do my job
that I didn't want in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So aside from that, like I said, and then maybe tightening up some of the scenes a little bit. I mean, and a lot of the fight scenes are clearly dated. I think you could certainly amp up the actual.
Yeah, some updated choreography for sure.
And those are the only times where you actually kind of feel that Trinity's not perfect at everything, because he does get himself into, get roughed up a little bit.
He's a good fighter, but not as good as a shooter as he is. So that's where your action kind of pumps up a little bit, was when he doesn't have his guns.
Yeah.
And there are a few times when he doesn't in the movie. So.
Quite a few times, because every time that they're going to go up against a bunch of guys. And that's a funny joke too. It's like, there's nine guys against them and they're like, are you going to help? Yeah, sure. Right? It's like
yeah, when he first wanders into town. Sees Bambino and there's all these guys.
There's like three guys
drawn up against him, and he's like, oh yeah, this will only take a minute.
Yeah. They're more than comfortable against uneven odds. That's a running joke as well. I was like, well. Yeah.
Although when they get to that final thing, they're like, hey, it's going to take more than the two of us to take care of this.
Yeah, this is a bit much even for us kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to teach these completely inept villagers how to
fight. Which was another funny bit.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, again, dated, and it looks clumsier now than it did when I first watched it.
Yeah, and we see very similar stuff in a better movie, Magnificent Seven, several other movies, really.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with including it, but you just definitely need to make it a little more modern and a little tighter.
Right? Yeah, it'd be fun to have them set up these little traps and things. They know they're going to get raided, so let's make it fun, because really we don't get that moment. They ride in and the major's drawn upon through one of the wagons, so doesn't even see Trinity with the gun, and then he just orders his men to stop.
Yeah, well,
eventually there's the big fight, but it kind of happens for very little reason. It was, they're like, well, shit, we're missing a fight. And then they start one.
Well, they don't. There's, because the Tobias reads that passage saying, and there's a time to fight, and then they're like, oh, we can fight?
We can fight, yeah.
And then they're all on board with it.
Yeah, like, let's go fight, even though they've already given up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because there's that moment there where the major feels the gun against the back of his head, and he's like, and then he feels the gun barrel, and he's like, hold it. Yeah. And I thought that was funny. I thought that
was funny.
And it played back to an earlier joke where Trinity does that to one of the major's henchmen in the bar, right? And he does that funny bit where he props his arm up on the post and
makes him look all relaxed.
Yeah, and then crosses his legs. It was,
are you going to come over here and help? And looks back, nobody's there.
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff I definitely want to keep. Are those little moments where that just lighten up what could be an overly tense scene?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that bit. That made me laugh.
Yeah, I think we could change something at the back end of that, though.
The final fight scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the reading the passage where that they realize they can fight, maybe they should just come earlier instead of like fighting after they've given up.
Yeah, well,
I've been commanded to drop their weapons.
Yeah, you know what? Where you could put that scene is when the major shows up and they're all standing there peacefully, mm-hmm. and Tobias can be reading that passage as like read it as they come, mm-hmm. right? And there could be there's a time to fight, and then all of a sudden everybody pulls out their.
Well, the thing that bugged me about that is that you'd think they'd know this book backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why are they just coming up with this realization now?
Yeah, but you know what? You can ignore that for the purpose of storytelling.
Yeah, I guess. Right?
Which is what they did.
They did, right? Yeah. Right?
But
it does make them look stupid, but it's a comedy, I guess.
Yeah. Right. And they're very naive, and that's what I liked about these characters, is they're all quite naive in their own way.
Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, wait a minute. What if we had Trinity just add a new page into their book as they're reading this sermon, and that's when they see this? I mean, this is a science fiction film, so like they're probably not reading out of a book; they're probably reading off of a tablet or something
like that. Why not?
And we can have the AI come in and hack the villager systems and just like, okay, we need them to defend themselves. Let's put in some religious stuff in here that says it's okay to beat the shit out of guys who are trying to take your stuff.
Yeah, you know, I'm all for that.
Yeah,
and I had this could be fun too. Is because they don't have a lot of firearms. They have livestock prods.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have some fun scenes with them zapping the bad guys.
I like that
because the fight scene was pretty bad. In the grand scheme of things, the only funny bits in there were the scenes where Mezcal kept trying to hit Bambino. Each subsequent object he picked up to break over Bambino just shattered. And then Bambino just pole axes him again.
Yeah.
Right, that's the only part that was funny in that whole final battle.
I do like that Bambino just no-sells everything.
Yes. I'd like to fit that in there somehow for sure in that final battle scene with Mezcal trying to take out Bambino with increasingly larger objects, and Bambino just shakes them off and whops him one again. Because that was funny. And that fight scene was so chaotic, I couldn't tell which side was which most of the time.
Yeah, they didn't establish enough of those guys.
There was the one big blonde guy, and that was the only guy that you sort of knew was,
yeah,
was one of the
good
guys.
Most of the religious guys had suspenders.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's kind of how I, if they weren't doing that well, I just assumed it was the Mormons.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was the thing, is that you couldn't tell which way the tide of battle was going.
Yeah. Yeah. Time. It just looked like a bar fight.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who's fighting, it doesn't really matter. That's where I think that has to be a little more tactical. Maybe instead of having them give up and then the Mormons realizing it actually is a fight for survival for these people, that they win. I mean, we can have those comic moments. I like the idea of like these comical traps that Trinity's done to make these guys look like idiots.
Yeah, and they can be stupid stuff. Like, one thing I liked about this movie is really nobody dies. That sense of fun, and then that you can keep it in that PG range too, that PG-13 range.
Yeah, I think it should be. Yeah. I don't think it should be any more than a PG-13.
Yeah, right. It should be something fun that, yeah, kids can enjoy, because some of this comedy is very much aimed at younger people. So yeah, they could be fun traps, like something that a bag of flour drops on somebody's head. I like that. I like the idea, because I mean the traps have been done with, like, Magnificent Seven is a great example of that, where they
did that too, yeah.
Where they rigged it up. So you make fun of that, right? Mm-hmm. With like them tripping off catapults that launch manure at them.
Yeah. And, you know, if they're making fun of some of the more modern science fiction stuff, it's funny, with Star Wars already taking from Westerns, you can take some of that back into this film as well. And just makes fun of some of the more modern science fiction neo-Westerns that have been done.
Yeah, for sure.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which, again, ties very well to... This just keeps getting better and better for my casting.
There we go. There we go. But yeah, I just think that, without too many changes, you could make this a fun modern science fiction film.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's get to some casting. Do you want to lead us off, Sam?
Sure, I will lead us off. I only cast sort of like the main six characters.
Yeah, mine did get it carried away because I had my two main guys pretty quickly, and then it just kind of...
I struggled with my Bambino, but I think I found a fun one.
I came up with him first.
My Trinity was a no-brainer. I've used this guy before, but he is perfect in this role. Just like looks, and he has this smirk and grin and all that. I went with Zac Efron.
Okay.
Right? Especially if you've seen Baywatch, which isn't a great movie, but
I quite liked him in that.
But I liked him in that, exactly. Mm-hmm. For my Bambino, I wanted somebody that was big. It's hard to find like somebody with Bud Spencer stature anymore. But I want somebody who's tall and imposing and a little heavier set. I went Jason Segel.
Oh, okay.
So that way, you know, height rather than breadth. And he's still a pretty broad guy, but I thought he'd be fun in that role. And he's got that deep voice too, right?
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
For my major, I went with Leonardo DiCaprio because you said you watched Django Unchained. And I'm like, he was so skeevy in that role.
I almost used him.
Yeah, because he was perfect in that role. And I'm like, oh, you know what? If he's, to have him come back and do something comedic with that character, I'm like, yeah. I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
For my Tobias, I went with John Turturro.
Okay. I like that a lot.
Yeah. For my Mezcal, because I was originally cast into Western and cast into type, I went with Danny Trejo.
Yeah, he actually is on my list. He was an alternate, actually, for my Mezcal, but he was actually my second choice.
Yeah. I went to see who your first choice was because I struggled with it. I had a few choices there. And I cast Jonathan because I loved him so much, and I want that Rye character who seems to be in on the joke. And I went with Adrian Brody.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I think he'd be really good in that kind of quirky role. My director, he's done so great with horror comedy and...
I have a feeling we got the same guy.
Police comedy.
Oh, maybe not.
I went with Edgar Wright.
Yeah, that fits. It's a very similar vibe I went with as well, but nope, not the same director.
You tend to have a wider range of directors you can pick from, but because...
Oh, I like that. Mine is kind of... We'll see.
They're of a kind.
A minor of a kind and a very similar vibe. My cast is a wee bit older because the first ones that came to mind were just a little bit older than the cast from Trinity, but in a sci-fi setting won't matter. My two stars are Rocket and Drax. I went with Bradley Cooper as Trinity and Dave Bautista as Bambino.
I could see that. I'd love to see Dave Bautista in sort of the long beard and
Yeah, I think he would look good in that. I mean, he's already a big imposing dude, obviously, from his wrestling days. But it is a more dry, straightforward character, which lends itself well to his not-so-great acting skills.
Yeah.
So I think that just is fine. Like, he's already kind of that character. He's almost playing it with Drax.
Yeah.
For my Tobias... I went with Kris Kristofferson. Tobias is the head of these Mormons. I just kept thinking of that majestic beard he had.
Yeah.
For Jonathan, I went with Craig Stark. You might be a little less familiar with him, but he was in Hateful Eight and Django Unchained. Still had that thin look.
Is he the bounty hunter who was hooked up with Django through the most of the movie there in Django Unchained?
No, I know what you're talking about. Much older. For my Mezcal, like I said, my second choice was Danny Trejo after I'd already come up with Javier Bardem.
He was also one of the ones I considered. I also considered him for the major.
Oh, yeah, he would have been good as the major as well, but I wanted to keep that southern twang because initially I was still thinking Western.
Yeah, but these guys
are perfect for science fiction as well, but this choice might not be, but my major, I wanted Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he'd be good. I think he'd be really good in that role.
I think he would. For my... did I do Tobias? Oh, I did Tobias twice. Huh. What is that? Oh, I have a second choice for Tobias, apparently.
You must have been tired.
I was tired. I kind of did this in two sittings. Yeah. But hey, I'll tell you anyway, for another Tobias, I have Jeff Bridges. Kris Kristofferson better, though. For the two girls...
Oh, you did cast them? Okay.
I did cast them because they don't get a lot of screen time, but...
They're key plot points, though.
Yeah, we can play them up a little bit, and they are what Trinity sticks around for at least a little while. I went with Samara Weaving and Jessica Roth.
There we go.
Yeah, I've talked about before, Samara Weaving from The Babysitter and Jessica Roth from Happy Death Day. For Weasel, I went in. I went all in on this. Weasel, he's one of the two guys that show up. Victor Ortiz.
Nice.
From Expendables 3. And Alex Pettifer for Timmy, the other one. From I Am Number 4 and In Time. Yeah. I'm kind of liking his little older, shaggier look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I think he'd do really well as a Western character.
Yeah. I think that, I think you could expand on Bambino's gang.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you could have more than just the two henchmen.
Oh, yeah. I think that we can go more. I just kind of went with what was in the original film.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want to keep your gang small, but not that small.
Yeah, it makes sense that he'd have more than two guys.
Yeah. That was a budget concern, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I like your casting.
Oh, thank you. I really liked yours as well. And we definitely had on a similar wavelength for these characters. And either way, if people agree or disagree about a remake of Trinity, They Call Me Trinity is a really great comedic Western. Yeah.
Who's your director?
Director. Yeah, I didn't say. I keep forgetting my directors. James Gunn.
I had this feeling that's where you're going.
Yeah. There's a lot of Guardians alumni in this.
Yeah, because so I think you're
initially I was going to try to do all my casting from Guardians, but it wasn't working.
But I can see how it would be a little tricky.
Yeah, because I was like, if I could do a lot of sci-fi references within the casting, and then it just wasn't working anymore. Yeah.
I mean, Chris Pratt would have been good in there too, but
he would have made a good Trinity.
Yeah, and I actually was considering for Bambino too.
He's big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, I think he'd be better just because of his whimsical nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be a good Trinity as well.
But yeah, I wanted to stay away from him because...
I did too. Yeah. I kind of wanted to try something new. Yeah. I mean, I've used Bradley Cooper before as well, but I always think of Bradley Cooper from like the A-Team movie or...
Even the Hangover movies.
The Hangover movies. Like I kind of like fun Bradley Cooper, so...
I enjoy the fun Bradley Cooper more than I enjoy the serious Bradley Cooper. I still think that he has a lot of charisma and character, but yeah, certainly when he's allowed to let his fun side out, he's mm-hmm. really engaging.
Yeah, I agree. And hopefully we'll see more of that. Yeah, I guess that's our Trinity. I urge our audience to try to seek these out. As I said, They Call Me Trinity is currently on Amazon Prime. You can get... They Call Me Trinity, and They Still Call Me Trinity as a dual Blu-ray pack, currently also on Amazon. And I'll have to look. I'm waiting for a sale. There but I want to pick it up because I'm very much want to watch other Trinity stuff.
Yeah, and to tide you over, My Name is Nobody is also on Amazon Prime.
And I know I've seen that as a kid. I used to think it was a Trinity movie as a kid, but always like, well, it kind of is, but kind of isn't. Like, I don't know. It still has that fun nature to it. So
it does, yeah.
I do recommend seeking these out. And it's kind of nice for us to sit and do a foreign film to something more of a North American audience flavor. If you can think of other Italian movies or other foreign film in general that you would like us to remake and recast, let us know. You can send us your suggestions on our social media at Invasion Remake on Twitter, Invasion of the Remake on Facebook and Instagram, and Invasion of the Remake at gmail.com. And of course, you can also leave comments on our YouTube channel as well.
Yes.
Yeah, please. And don't forget to leave a quick 5-star rating and a short review over on iTunes if you happen to find yourself there.
Yeah, or actually any one of the podcatchers. They all let you do reviews and ratings.
Yeah, if yours allow it, please just do a quick summary or a quick click on those stars. It just helps other people get their earballs on the show.
Yes, and we like earballs on the show.
We do, and you can also tell your friends what platforms we're on. You already know where to find us, but help them find a show. And you can do that by telling them we're on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio. Is it Google Play Music anymore or is it Google Podcasts now? I don't know. Sure. I think they've switched it around now. But Google Podcasts or Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, Radio Public, and even
freaking YouTube.
Okay, as we promised last week, we had a fan challenge from another podcast called What Does It Matter? And here is his challenge.
All right, guys, challenge accepted. This is Sean from What Does It Matter podcast. Here is a list of movies that are coming to mind right now as I record this, because to be honest, I mentioned so many movies to Sam. It's not that I love bad movies. I love bad movies that have charm, that stick out. You know, like The Room, Samurai Cop, and a Miami Connection, Friends for Eternity, Loyalty, Honesty. You know what I'm talking about, guys. You totally know what I'm talking about. So here are some movies. How about the Roger Corman classic Star Wars ripoff, Battle Beyond the Stars, not to be confused with Space Raiders, or what's the Lost Kingdom one with Bo Svenson where they use the music from Battle Beyond the Stars? Jimmy Horner, by the way. How about something light and fluffy that's actually really good, like Midnight Run? You know, a Martin Brest film that isn't Geely. Speaking of your last episode, you mentioned James Russo, who was in Martin Brest's Beverly Hills Cop. How about another great one with James Russo? It's called The Postman. I'm just going to hit pause here and start thinking more. Maybe we could go back to the past and visit The Alamo, John Wayne's 1960 film, or maybe the 2004 John Lee Hancock film, for those of you not in the know. I remember The Alamo. Why not Remo Williams' The Adventure Begins? I mean, come on, come on, come on. This is getting really long. Maybe something recent. We can go and do The Greatest Showman? Or just because I'm currently reading the book that I love so much because it's my favorite book ever, maybe the 1994 television miniseries of The Stand that has some really good performances, most notably Bill Faber, him as Tom Cullen, and Rob Lowe as Nick Andros, and also has one of the worst acting performances I've ever seen. And Fran Goldsmith. I'm not even going to name the actress's name because you know who she is. She was in 16 Candles. All right, so food for thought, guys. Food for thought, guys. Food for thought. This is Sean from What Does It Matter podcast, and I will be on your show soon to do one of these either great or shitty great movies. Peace.
All right. Apparently, he can't pick one. So we'll make that choice, but look forward to us doing one of those options in the near future, and we'll have Sean come on the show directly and help us with that. All right, that's been They Call Me Trinity. I've been Jason.
I am always Sam.
And we are out of here.
No ambition in life, do something. Rustle cattle, hold up a stagecoach, or play cards or something. Once you are a good card shark, but do something.
Who's got the time? I'm already busy doing nothing.